Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week grew up in Detroit, Michigan, earned a BA in communications from the University of Detroit Mercy. For 20-plus years, he was a senior executive in the marketing/advertising industry. Since 2020, he's been with Angel's Place and is currently its CEO. Founded in 1992 by two nurses, Angel's Place provides homes and services to adults with intellectual and developmental disabilities. They serve nearly 100 residents in 21 homes in the Detroit Tri-County area. His name? Tom Schepansky. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything is Possible on 760 WJR. I'm Jack Krasula, this is Anything is Possible, and we're talking to Tom Schepansky. Say that 10 times. Tom Schepansky, he's the CEO of Angel's Place. Tom, welcome, an honor to have you.
Jack? I've been following you and your work and your radio program for many, many years, and it's an honor to be with you today. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Can you lead us in an opening prayer, please?
I can. Lord, please bless us as we do this radio program today and bless the people of the city of Detroit and our greater community. As we enter the season of Lent, help us remember your passion and sacrifice, and particularly remember those in our community who are less vulnerable than we are. And we ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's go back. Your childhood, your mom and your dad, Tom.
Okay, my mom and my dad. I think to understand my mom and my dad, I think I have to start with my wife. My wife, Carolyn, is a beautiful, kind woman. She will do a favor for anyone. We have two beautiful children, Amy and Patty, who are smart and kind and generous. And I have a brother and two sisters and some really fantastic brothers-in-law and sisters-in-law. And I start with them because they are a great reflection of my mom and dad. My dad, a member of the Greatest Generation, his mom and dad came from Poland. And so he grew up on the east side of very modest means. Went to school through the sixth grade, and then he had to go to work to help support his mom. Then he went to the service, and he married my mom. And though he only went to school through the sixth grade, he could carry on a conversation and make a connection with any person in the world. And as I went through my career and started making friends of guys and ladies who became CPAs and JDs, he was even able to have a really good conversation with those folks because he was more interested in his story than sharing with them his story. My mom, her name was Agnes, and she too, both of her parents came from Poland. And when you see a picture of St. Agnes, you frequently see St. Agnes pictured with a lamb. Agnes, Agnus, lamb. And that lamb would be a great reflection of my mother. She was gentle, and she would correct me often, but it was always gently. And she dealt with everybody gently, and she became a nurse. And that nursing was really a fulfillment of her character. While she was gentle with everybody else she dealt with, she was tough on herself. She was hit by a car when she was a freshman in high school, and so she missed a lot of school that year, and then started going to school in the summers and pushed herself to graduate in 3 years. And then she had cancer, and she recovered from that and continued her nursing, but she was gentle with everyone.
Okay, your dad went to school for 6 years, but Tommy, you went to college. You were on the 8-year plan at U of D Mercy.
I was fortunate to work in the athletic department and worked full-time and went to school part-time, which in retrospect was a great blessing. I was a probably called a late bloomer. And so I learned a lot, and we had the good fortune of working in the environment with Dick Vitale and others.
Awesome, baby.
And so working full-time for the university was a real blessing.
All right. Vitale's been the voice soundtrack of college basketball for 40-plus years. He's a modern-day Jerry Lewis for the Jimmy V Foundation. Tell us one Dick Vitale story.
Well, what you see on TV is what Dick was like every day in the gym. Dedication, desire, discipline of mind and body. He had that same high energy his entire life. And I think one of the things I took away from him is it's okay to be excited about your work. And I'm excited about my work today, but so many people put that light under a bushel and he never did. And he taught me it's okay to be excited about your work.
Are you serious? You know, the diaper dandy, dipsy do, dunkaroo, unbelievable.
Yeah, he was awesome.
Okay. All right. You finally get out of school after the 8-year plan. You go to work for the Free Press.
Right.
Please.
I enjoyed working at the Free Press. I worked in advertising sales, market research. I really had no idea what I was going to do with my career, and it was an entry position. And there, too, I was surrounded by some really good people who taught me how to work hard, how to sell, what marketing was all about. Some of those friends are still my best friends in the world.
All right. Then in 1992, you go to this little company called J. Walter Thompson, and you, Schepansky, put it on the map.
I wish that was the case. J. Walter Thompson himself created the company a long while ago. I was a small cog in that machine. But it was a good place to work there, too. I was surrounded by some terrific mentors, and it was exciting. You know, a young person in the creative industry doing work you see on television, it's a very heady experience.
All right. In 1990, you go to work for Doner.
Right. I always thought I would work for an advertising agency. It was on my college entrance exam, so that's what I wanted to do, entrance paperwork. And after I was the youngest person to take a buyout at the JOA from the Free Press, and my cousin helped me get my foot in the door at Doner, and so that was my start in the advertising agency business. Surrounded by that creativity and that sense of energy was great. Went from Doner up the street to J. Walter Thompson, the great J. Walter Thompson, then to BBDO, and had a good career in the advertising agency business.
We're talking to Tom Schepansky. When we come back, we'll ask him about the chapter of his life at the University of Michigan. And I'm Jack Rasul, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Rasula. We're with Tom Schepansky, SZCZEPANSKI. Duck soup. All right. From 2010 to 2017, you were with the University of Michigan. Talk about that chapter, Tom.
So I was in the advertising agency business, and I looked around one day and said, wow, I am already the oldest guy in the room. It's time to think about what the next chapter of my career will be. A friend said, for fun, you've been involved with Henry Ford Macomb Hospital. You've been the chair of the March of Dimes, brought in by our good mutual friend, Mike Feasy. And she said, hey, there's an opening in the development area at the University of Michigan. You should pursue that. And so I pursued it and got the job. And Michigan is a unbelievable place. My dad used to ask me, how are things going at the school? And saying it's a school is like comparing a book of matches to a stick of dynamite. It is so much bigger and grander than I ever imagined. And there is something exciting happening on campus every day. And so beyond the work of working in the development area at Michigan, we had a fundraising campaign. raised $2 billion, Jack. And I was just a small cog in that machine, but it was proud to do that. That's just the scale of what the whole enterprise is like. And there was something interesting every day. One day, I heard that the chairman of the Fed Reserve was speaking on campus. I said, wow, that's unbelievable. I'm going to go see that. And there were 40 or 50 people in the audience. And I came back to the office. I said, why were there so few people? Because there's something like that every day at Michigan.
Okay. Then, another turn in the road, you become the COO of something called Detroit Public Television right down the street.
Right.
And you were there from 2017 to 2018, yeah. 1 year. Talk about that chapter.
Yeah, that was an extension of working in the development area, a very strong Detroit-based nonprofit. After commuting to Ann Arbor from Sterling Heights every day for 8 years, I wanted something closer to home. And I always liked the mission of Detroit Public Television. So that was my path to getting closer to home. And they do some good work and unfortunately suffering some more difficult times today.
So you went from raising $2 billion to $200,000 was a great month. So
right. Yeah.
Just a few less zeros, that's all. We're talking to Tom Szczepanski. If you try to write that name out on the Scrabble board, you can't do it because Scrabble only has one tile with the letter Z. But it would be 37 points on the Scrabble board. Okay, 1992, two nurses, Tom, are having lunch one day at the Beaumont Hospital cafeteria. That lunch has transformed thousands of lives.
Yeah.
Please.
Imagine this. As you started the story, two nurses, Loretta Nagel Ryan and Anne Marie Lopez, having lunch in the Beaumont Hospital cafeteria. And the one nurse, Anne Marie Lopez, says to the other, I have a profoundly disabled daughter, Charlotte. What is she going to do when I'm gone? Imagine the tension or the anxiety in that conversation. What is she going to do when I'm gone? Because it's inevitable. We're all going to be gone someday. And so that group of a conversation of two nurses, they expand with some other friends, Margaret Maxwell, Peggy Prentice, Rosemary Kelly. And then hundreds more join that cause. And they ask their friends to throw in some money. And on the base of that conversation, Angel's Place was created. So let me further extend that story. Imagine those two nurses knew, by their own admission, knew nothing about running a nonprofit, knew nothing about running a group home, knew nothing about the licensing and financing of managing an organization like this, but they figured out how to do it. And that conversation with two nurses now turned into 21 homes serving over nearly 100 residents with intellectual and developmental disabilities.
Five phenomenal ladies. We don't want to single any out. Rosemary Kelly and her husband, Dan Kelly.
Yeah,
please.
Yeah. I've met Dan a few times. He now runs a different organization called Rose Hill Center. Everyone I met who knows Mrs. Kelly and Dan speak very highly of them, and they've just been generous to so many causes in our community.
They actually, I think, started Rose Center because of a son named John.
Yes, right.
With a similar issue.
Yes.
Okay. You joined. It was nothing before you came. And you joined in 2020.
Mm-hmm.
First, raising money.
Right.
And then you became the COO, and then in January of 22, you became the CEO. Probably never got a raise. You got a new business card, okay? Talk about your career at Angel's Place.
Let me go back to the question you asked earlier about my career in the advertising agency business. I run into my old algebra and chemistry teacher from Orchard Lake St. Mary's when I went to high school. And he says, so what are you doing now? And at that point, I had just been named vice president at an advertising agency, and I puffed myself up. I said, man, I'm a vice president of an advertising agency. And he looked at me and he says, oh, so you're selling things people don't need to people who probably can't afford them. Like, wow, he pushed me back on my heels. And then my career moved on. I became a senior vice president, executive vice president at the advertising agencies. But I didn't forget that conversation. He says, he ended that question with, what are you doing good for the world? And that conversation, though lasted 90 seconds probably, what are you doing good for the world, stuck with me. I have three cousins who were impacted by special needs. And maybe it's them, and maybe it's observing my aunt and uncle who cared for them so lovingly that drew me to the mission of Angel's Place. Some of my mentors at U of D were involved. Bob Koval, Denny Flynn were involved at Angel's Place, giants of generosity in Detroit. And so when I was introduced to Angel's Place, I said, boy, I need to talk to them. And if I don't end up working there, I'll end up volunteering there.
What's the mission of Angel's Place, Tom?
Yep. Well, I'll read it to you just to make it easy on myself. Angel's Place offers an environment of love and compassion coupled with an atmosphere of acceptance, dignity, friendship, and the potential for personal growth and independence. Angel's Place is a Christ-centered community that enhances the lives of those we serve and their families by providing loving homes and professional support to individuals with intellectual and developmental disabilities.
We're talking to Tom Schepansky, and we're talking about Angel's Place. It was formed in 1992 by two nurses having lunch at Beaumont Hospital. Today, 34 years later, 21 homes, nearly 100 residents, and Tom, you only have to raise $11 million a year. Duck soup.
Yeah.
So, and I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Krasula, or Tom Schepansky. If you want to learn more, www.angels.com. Okay, Tom, $11 million budget. Lifetime cost of care is approximately $2 million for 30 years for a person from the age of 26. Cost you $22,500 each day in daily operation cost. Where does the money come from?
Well, you're better at the math than me. That's awesome, Jack. The about two-thirds of our funding comes from governmental sources, but that would not even cover the minimal cost of care. We are so fortunate that we have many people who are generous to our cause that allow us to provide higher than entry-level wages for our employees. And by that, I mean the real heroes of the organization, our caregivers. It's still a modest wage to be sure, but we can pay slightly above the going rate, which allows us to get a high quality of caregiver, people who view this as their ministry versus just a job. And we keep our homes in nice shape and our vehicles in good working order. And it's only through the generosity of our donors that we're able to do that. You joked about it earlier about the pay for the executives. The folks on the leadership team also, they think of this as a ministry and nobody's getting rich over it. But our donors allow nearly 100 people to have a really, really good life.
When Carolyn says, we need more money, you say, hon, we're going to be rewarded in the next life.
Well, fortunately, I married a person who shares the values that I do. And we've always lived modestly. We have more than we will ever need. And we're glad that we have what we do. Our lives are perfectly comfortable, and we just don't need much today. People ask, why do you do this? Or what drives you to do this? And you remember Rush used to say, talent on loan from God. Well, I believe, you know, I am fortunate. I have talent on loan from God, but I hope I can share some of that talent every day with somebody else who will benefit from it. And that's more important than a big paycheck. I had my time with the nice paychecks and the nice perks working in the advertising agency business, and that allows me to do what I do today.
Many would say that you have a lot more humility than Rush had. Okay. All right. You talked about you have nice homes.
Yeah.
Let's talk about how God works through people.
Oh, sure.
You know, when you least expect it. There's a home across from Pine Lake in the late 90s.
Yes. So it is Angel's Place grew. Folks donated homes and donated property to us. A really generous man, Mr. Miller, donated his home. It was a cottage across from, a little nicer than a cottage across from Pine Lake. And his daughter lived there for many years. About 5 years ago, we did a home inspection like you might do if you're buying a house. And we determined that that house needed a roof, it needed gutters. Because it had been added on multiple times, it had three furnaces. Some of that needed to be repaired. There was just a variety of things that needed to be done on that house. We estimated it would cost $150,000. And so the board says, well, what's our options? We have to care for the five ladies that live there. Let's get this done. And then one of the ladies at that house, Susan, was at my office. She knocks on my window to say hello every morning. As she's walking away, she trips and she falls. She breaks her kneecap. Horrible thing, but the blessing is, so now she's back home, and she requires a walker. And between she and the walker and the caregiver, they all didn't fit in the bathroom. And so he said, wait a minute, why are we going to invest $150,000 in this house where she won't be able to effectively age in place? So what are we going to do? We talked to the great architect, Kevin Hart. He designs a plan. And we say, let's build a house that can accommodate these ladies to live in place, age in place for the rest of their lives. The board asks, what will it cost? I don't know. How long will it take to build? I don't know. He's, well, go figure that out, Tom, but we'll have to do this. The very next day, a donor, Rebecca Harahan, she had made many gifts over the years to Angel's Place in relatively modest size, is visiting our office. And she comes in and says, my husband recently passed away, and I'd like to memorialize him and his uncle by making a gift to Angel's Place. And the previous nights, not even 12 hours prior, presentation of this house I want to build is on my desk, and I show it to her. And she says, well, how much will it cost? I don't know. And she said, well, I'll start by giving you $500,000 towards the construction of that house. And what a unbelievable miracle that was. And she gave us the confidence to launch a much bigger initiative because we have about six houses that need to be replaced, quads and tri-levels that folks have donated to us over the years that just can't accommodate aging in place. And so we've rebuilt that house, and the ladies moved in a short while ago. That one is done. We have another house just about done. We have a third one that we're about to put a shovel in the ground. Rebecca Harahan's gift, memorializing her husband Bill Harahan and his uncle Michael McManus, was a catalyst to launching a $10 million campaign to replace multiples of our homes, make all of our homes so folks can age in place, replace their vehicles, add $3 million to the endowment, and also enhance our enrichment center. And folks have been generous to that. So far, we're about $8.5 million raised. And people continue to be generous to accomplish these goals.
If you want to learn more, www.angelswithanSplace.com. $11 million budget every year, Tom. 35% of that budget's got to come from friends. That's $4 million you got to raise every year. Mother Teresa used to talk about that she had a business partner, and the business partner worried about the money. His name was Jesus. What do you say about that?
I read our mission statement. There was an important phrase in there that we are a Christ-centered organization, and that is such. And the whole organization spirit is driven around that. And maybe best to tell you a story about James, who lives in one of our homes. I get a call one day from a friend of mine, and he says, "Hey, my next door neighbor has some cabinets that they're perfectly nice cabinets in his house, but his wife wants new ones. We'd like to get those out. And could you use them in a house?" I said to myself, "Are you kidding me? We're going to take cabinets out of one house and put them in another house? How is that going to work?" But before I said that, he says, "And don't worry, I have some guys who are really good carpenters. They'll help you do it." Well, then I said, "Wait, what are the chances they'll fit?" So I go over to the house. That we had one house that had particularly cabinets that needed to be replaced. And I was greeted at the door by James. And James has never really had a family. He's now legally blind. But he greets me at the door and says, "Hey, Tom, what are you doing here?" And I said, "I have my tape measure." I said, "Well, I'm going to measure for some cabinets. If they fit, we'll maybe install them in your house." And without missing a beat, he says, "I believe Jesus is going to make them fit." Now, when some people say that, you say, "Wow, that's a nice turn of a phrase." But he believed it, that they were going to fit. And they fit. And the kitchen is beautiful today. And there's two additional pieces of that story. One is, as the guys were putting the stove back in, they dropped the stove. And one of the guys installing them says, "Hey, I have a stove in my basement that we never use. I'll bring that one by." And it fit. And as the guys were having a lunch break, they noticed the deck was deteriorating at the house. And they said, "Well, let's start by ripping out the top. And we'll see if we could just replace the top or the whole thing." And so they start ripping out the top. And they found out before we bought the house, the deck had been built on a cement slab, which was in perfectly good shape. And so instead of replacing the deck, we now have a cement patio. But all of that links back to James saying, "I believe Jesus is going to make them fit." And I wish I had that level of faith. And I wish the folks listening to the show can have that same level of faith.
We're talking to Tom Schimpansky. www.angelswithanSplace.com. And I'm Jack Rasulin. This is Anything is Possible on 760 WJR.
You've been listening to your inspirational fireside chat, Anything is Possible, for nearly 20 years.
This is Anything is Possible, and I'm Jack Crisullo.
But what has Jack been up to lately? Search at AIP Speaker Series and find out. Jack has interviewed thousands of historical voices, some of whom have offered him their philosophy of life, like Tom Izzo.
And Tom writes, "Work hard, persistence always wins out, discipline is the highest form of love. Stay humble."
The great Ernie Harwell.
"My aim is to do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with God."
And the voices of our generation.
"I am reassured continuously that His unfathomable love and mercy are the greatest gifts of my life and my constant source of strength, reassurance, and guidance. His Holiness, Pope Francis."
At AIP Speakers Series is the YouTube channel where all of these jewels can be heard, including some of Anything is Possible's greatest guests.
And we're with Mitch Albom.
The Little Liar is really a book about truth and lies and the price we pay when we lie.
This is Anything is Possible, and with Tom Watson.
My father loved to play with the pros at the club. Developed a very quick friendship with Stan and played some golf with him. And then he would ask me to play golf with him and Stan.
Our guest this week was born with a rare disorder characterized by the absence of arms and legs. His name, Nick Vujicic.
Something that every human being actually deals with, Jack. It's the choice of continuing to believe or giving up.
And recordings of the AIP Speaker Series events at St. John's Resort. Go to YouTube and search at AIP Speaker Series. It's free. And remember,
anything is possible.
Spohom. I'm Jack Krasula. This is Anything Is Possible. We're talking to Tom Schepansky, CEO Angel's Place, which since 1992 has been providing homes and services to adults with intellectual developmental disabilities. Today, they serve nearly 100 residents in 21 homes in the Detroit Tri-County area. Okay, Schepansky. What's the single biggest thing the residents and caretakers have taught you?
I would say the biggest thing they taught me, this is the residents, is finding God in the present. That they have a way of seeing, see what God has just shown you there. And when they point out to me God in the present, it's a lot easier for me to see how he has impacted my past. And when I see God in the present and the past, it's easier to have confidence that he will be a part of my future. And so some days if I'm sitting at my desk and I'm working on a problem, there's no panic because I'm confident that somewhere in the near future, that problem is going to resolve in my head because it's happened before. And so I think finding God in the present is the biggest thing they have taught me. The biggest thing that the caregivers taught me is their sense of selflessness and commitment to what they do.
The compassion, the patience, the love. Yeah. That these caregivers, these angels, they're angels.
They are. The caregivers are really the heroes of our organization. You use my fancy title as the CEO, Chief Executive Officer. I'm the head coach. The caregivers are the heroes. So I'll share with you a story about the caregivers. Get a call one night, I think it was a Monday, about 11 o'clock, and it was the sad news that one of our residents, Jack Palmer, had died at one of our homes in Troy. Just a natural cause death. By the time I got to the, so I got out of bed, got dressed, went over to the house. By the time I got there, Jack's brother Hugh was there, and he shared what a blessing the caregivers were to his brother's life for over 25 years. These caregivers had cared for him, and they were filled with sorrow. Everybody called Jack Chief because he called everyone Chief, and they were filled with sorrow, and they had been with him for a long while. Jack had just been home for his 60th birthday. He came back, and they could just tell something was off. They helped him take a bath. They got him comfortable in bed, and when they walked in to check on him a short while later, he had passed away in his bed. So they called 911. 911 came, the fire department came, the police came, the brother came. Unfortunately, then Desmond Funeral Home came. And so those caregivers who were scheduled to leave at 10 o'clock stayed because Jack had some of his stress and ultimately died. Those who were scheduled to come in at 10 came in a little bit early, shows their commitment. But so then I'm driving away. It's probably 1 o'clock in the morning after everyone had left, and I'm going home and going to bed. But those caregivers had to suppress their grief because there's five other guys in that house who would be waking up soon and needed their care. And to me, that is emblematic of the care and the love that our caregivers have for the residents of Angel's Place. And to use your words, they really are angels.
Tom Schepansky, have you ever seen a miracle?
Miracles, when most people think of miracles, we think of big, grand things, a raising of the dead, a healing of the sick. I see small miracles every day and layers of our work is layer upon layer of miracles. As we were building that Pine Center house I was telling you about, there was a lot of frustration, like you always have with construction, with delays. The house was delayed. We couldn't get our certificate of occupancy because of some small landscaping issues. But because it was delayed, we had another resident who was in the hospital for 4 months. Now imagine the miracle of coming home from the hospital after 4 months. She was able to come home, but her existing house is a quad. She could not move there. Because the house construction was delayed, she now could move into this new house, which had an empty bedroom. Had she been released 2 weeks earlier, the house wouldn't have been done. Had she been released 2 weeks later, the bed likely would have already been filled. And it was a series of miracles that led to that house being done in God's time. So Tammy had a place to return, and that layer upon layer of small miracles is what I would point to as in answer to your question.
Tom Schepansky, the Jesuits have a saying. They got a lot of sayings. But one saying is, find God in all things. Tommy, you and your team at Angel's Place, you live that every day.
I hope so.
Okay. Yeah. I don't have much money. I don't have a rich uncle. But I moved. How can I help Angel's Place?
I always ask for folks to give us their emotional, their spiritual, and their financial support, and give to whatever means you have. And some people give to us very generously. I told the story of the $500,000 gift earlier. The Pulte family gave us $2 million towards our $10 million goal. If you can, support us financially. If you cannot, give us your emotional and your spiritual support.
Tom Schepansky, that professor at Orchard Lake, if he's looking down, would say, Tommy, keep doing good for the world. I commend you.
Thank you very much, Jack. It's an honor to be with you.
Please join us next week. Until then, I'm Jack Rasula. Thanks for listening. And make it a great week, because with God,
everything is possible.
Spohol. Believe.